Hey, grandkids, welcome to a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio, the weekend of January 29th, 2011. Eric Nelson and Dusty Giebing here with you. Dusty, what's going on this late?
Hey, my name is Dusty. My name is Dusty Giebing. You believe me, right?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, we find out that Dusty Giebing died 3 weeks before his obituary.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Mark Bingham Memorial Audio for January 29th, September 11th. I'm currently watching WrestleMania 11. Dusty, what are you up to?
I am watching a WWF Superstars episode dated February 16th, 1991.
Wow. Dare I ask who squashed who on that show?
Well, the feature matchup is a tag team battle royal featuring all the tag teams in the World Wrestling Federation to determine who will face the Hart Foundation at WrestleMania 7 for the tag team championship.
And as a young Mark, I sure hoped it would have been the Legion of Doom.
As a young Mark, I was praying for the Rockers.
Ah, very cool.
Not to be.
Not to be for either one of us, yeah.
No.
The Nasty Boys would sneak in there.
And, oh, my God, did I love that WrestleMania match.
That was a good match. Yep, we will get there. Because the reason I said this is a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio, other than the fact that I say that at the beginning of every show that I'm on.
Every single show. But this time, we really mean it. Woo!
And believe me, it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm on the show. We were inspired by a post on the Pro Wrestling Torch VIP forum. If you're not a member, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and that's how we stay in good graces over there. well, yeah, that's about the only way. What is the new poster's name? It's like Ryan Spartan Man or something like that?
I believe so. I'm not on there right now. So.
Okay.
But
well,
props
I think it's
to him for being a good new poster who doesn't advertise his blog. So.
That's right, yeah. He may have managed to drift over from Blog Talk Radio, but apparently he doesn't have one of 10,000 podcasts to talk about.
Right.
Right off the bat, especially. He made a post. He said he admitted as much. He's been a wrestling fan since Shawn Michaels' retirement speech on Monday Night Raw. And what that amounts to is he says he's never seen a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And with the hype for this year's WrestleMania getting started, he asked the Torch VIP forum for some recommendations. He said, what are your favorite WrestleManias and where should I start?
Yeah.
And what that inspired in us is a conversation about every WrestleMania from 1 to 26.
Yeah, let's start at the start and examine all of them.
Right. And what we're going to do, we're going to do this in fairly short order. Go ahead.
No, just get to the bottom of this and give them a better answer.
Right. I guess what we're kind of trying to do is, well, the way I think of it anyway, is why would somebody say that this WrestleMania is their favorite? Why would somebody say that WrestleMania is their favorite?
Right.
Kind of like picking your favorite baby in some respects.
Sure.
Even though your least favorite baby should be the 11th one.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, what do you say we start at the beginning of WrestleMania 1? What stands out about that WrestleMania? If you were going to tell somebody, if you believed that WrestleMania 1 was your favorite, why would it be your favorite?
Sure. Well, I've told this story before on audio here, but one of the very first wrestling-related things I got was a best of VHS tape that had one match from each of the first four WrestleManias.
Huh.
And WrestleMania 1 was highlighted by the main event, where once again Roddy Piper just reaches through the television screen and grabs you by the neck, you know?
Yes.
The entire match, really.
Yep.
Pay attention to me. I'm special, you know?
From coming to the ring to the bagpipers and drums to, like,
yes.
Smiling and waving goodbye at them to out-wrestling Mr. T and making him look like a punk.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The timeout where he almost gets all the way to the back. That was the first time I'd ever seen one of those. Everything.
Yep. Yeah. That's definitely the highlight of the show is that match. I actually went back and watched it, I think, last weekend, maybe 2 weekends ago.
Sure.
And I'll preface this whole thing from my point of view by saying, to me, the only way to watch these WrestleManias now is as part of the DVD box sets. Coliseum videos hold a little bit of a place in my heart, but really so much was edited out of those to make time for the videotapes that you pretty much have to watch them on the re-release DVDs from 2005.
Yep.
To really appreciate them. And there's something special and kind of even naive about the way the show is presented. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of MSG shows from back there. I know that it was pretty much one in a long-ass series of, like, every third week MSG shows. But it's really Lord Alfred Hayes with his terrible, like, coming up, we are about to see Tito Santana against the Masked Executioner.
Right.
They were backstage earlier today with comments with our very own Mean Gene Okerlund. Let's hear what that comment was.
Yep.
And then you can
see Vince McMahon off screen with the poker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no shit.
totally a hostage video. Yeah.
Yes. And then you get the awkward interviews with Gene Okerlund. He'll interview one person on his right side. And then the WrestleMania logo will pop up, even just as a weird transition. And then seamlessly, Gene will be interviewing the heel on the other side of his body.
Yep.
Because they're both in the same room to cut the promo.
Yes.
And then you get the match with Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura on commentary, back when Jesse wasn't like 100% heel on commentary.
Yeah, hadn't quite found his voice yet, would you say?
No, he had not. He definitely wasn't the tell it like it is Jesse Ventura.
Yep.
He was still doing a lot of, you got that right, gorilla, sort of stuff.
Right, exactly.
So I guess to me the beauty of the show is that it resembles an MSG show from back then with just a little bit of extra glitz, but not too much, really, especially compared to today.
That's right. Yeah, and there were matches where it was like, huh? Those two guys aren't feuding.
Yeah.
This guy's feuding with this guy over here, you know?
Well, yeah, the Tito Santana Executioner match and the Greg
Valentine against the dog,
Right, the Junkyard Dog, and it's like this, you know, I think we talked about this before. Maybe they didn't want to give away a Greg Valentine-Tito Santana match at the biggest show of the year, knowing they could do it down the road and, you know, draw a crowd later with it.
But, sure.
You know, still, nowadays
and you
realize.
You would see that at nearly every WrestleMania thereafter. There'd be a match in a box, you know?
Yep.
Like, exactly. Why is Tito facing Earthquake? I don't know.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, honestly, if you're going to tell somebody to start somewhere, I would tell them to start at one. I think that you can't watch and appreciate every other WrestleMania without starting at number one.
I don't know. I don't know if I can totally agree with that. There's a lot of about one, you know?
Okay.
I might just tell people to start with three.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, and we can go to two here real quick. I guess I just think, like, the evolution from 1 to 26 is so fun to watch that I like starting with 1.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And I'll tell you, but I'll tell you what, from what you just said, let me draw a parallel. When my band's first CD got reviewed in our local newspaper here in Des Moines, you've heard the CD, you know how it sounds, and I like
it,
but it's not like it's. I mean, I think our second one's better, but I love our first one. Again, it's like choosing a favorite kid. But
sure.
The reviewer basically
said...
You know,
that band's here to choose a favorite drummer, though.
Yeah, we can make that pretty easy. Our drummers make that easy for us.
Anywho.
The reviewer said, start with track 3, or song 3, you know. I'm like, okay, so he basically just told everybody... This album is pretty good, except for the songs that they chose to be the lead-off and the follow-up.
Right. Only the most important songs. That's nothing. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Which leads us to WrestleMania 2, which off-air, you had said so many people think is the worst WrestleMania, and I think you and I both disagree.
I was reading a thread on a another lesser message board, and a bunch of people listed two as their least favorite, and I don't know. You know, it's not great, but it's okay.
Are these the same people that think Bob Dylan is awesome?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they are.
Okay. Well, you know, to each their own.
No, Eric, sometimes people are just wrong.
Oh. Thank you.
But, anywho, no, 2 is not good, but it's okay. There's
mm-hmm.
certain elements of it. You definitely have to be in the 80s spirit in order to fully appreciate it. I'll say that.
I think that's the exact key, because I went and watched that after I watched WrestleMania 1. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put myself in a mindset to appreciate Susan St. James on commentary. You know, nowadays.
Come on, George. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two matches in a row. She gets to cheer on a George.
Right. Boy, she sure loves her Georges.
I know. And you had to think too. Okay, this is what Nassau Coliseum looked like. This is what a darkly lit arena looked like. This was
right.
Paul Orndorff as a baby face. This was. Macho Man Randy Savage, that we all know and love as a legend now, wrestling somebody
right.
who was like a 30-year veteran then, you know, or
yeah.
whatever, 20 years at the time, something like that. Kind of like how he'd wrestled Bruno for a couple of months the following year.
Yeah.
And then to kind of think about, okay, how big of a deal is it that NFL football players were in a battle royal, especially in Chicago the year that the Bears won the Super Bowl?
Sure.
You know, how, I guess, was it really history in the making when the Bulldogs won the tag belts? You got to also think, how awesome was it that Terry Funk and Dory Funk got to wrestle at WrestleMania that year? You know, Terry
That's
would show up.
A good match, too.
It was. Terry would show
Nobody
up 12 years later. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. And, you know, even something as kitschy as Elvira on commentary. It's
I loved Elvira's commentary.
Yeah.
Loved
she told it.
It
like it was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She thought old Ricky Steamboat with the bandana around his knee looked like a wimp.
Yeah. But then she also marked out like everyone else when Hogan won at the end. So
yep,
I thought
that's
it was
right.
perfect.
Yep.
I thought her commentary was awesome.
I guess the thing that I would summarize too with is be wary of the 1980s feel. And also understand that WWE was still kind of transitioning. You know, they hit a
mm-hmm.
real hot moment with 84 and MTV, culminating
yeah.
with WrestleMania 1 and 85, but they were still trying to find themselves before they got to a humongous dome show in 87.
Right. Yeah, you can feel it. It's sort of starting to happen. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But it's not quite there yet. Hogan doesn't have, I would say Bundy was one of his weaker WrestleMania opponents, but, you know, it was still pretty special, and it was in a cage and everything. And
yep.
if you like Hogan, that's the kind of thing you like, you know?
Yep. And if you look up and down the card at the time, you know, other than maybe a Macho Man Randy Savage, it's kind of hard to find an opponent for Hulk Hogan.
Yep, yep.
You know, even I hate to say it, even Terry Funk probably wouldn't have drawn. Well, that's the thing, though. Hogan would have drawn.
Hogan would have drawn with anybody, but
yep.
they were in a mindset where it had to be big opponents for him.
Yeah, exactly. Big, monstrous. Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. Proceed with caution, but 2 isn't as bad as a lot of people make it out to be.
Right. Again, that's not a glowing endorsement. That's just a mild thumbs, sort of in the middle, kind of up sometimes if you're looking at the right direction.
Yep. Hey, another thing worth mentioning, too, they really cut some of the shit short in order to make room for the important stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Corporal Kirshner pretty much marches down to the ring like a retard, and about 30 seconds later, he's waving his flag.
That's right. That's right. And the Moolah match might be even quicker.
Yeah, really.
There
you
might...
Velvet McIntyre being pinned with her foot over the rope.
Right? Man, they were in a hurry.
Yeah, it was almost like, you know, we can screw Wendy Richter, we can screw anybody.
Right? I found myself saying that out loud when I was watching it last time. Man, they're in a hurry.
Yep.
They really
want to
get this the fuck out of the way.
Well, here's another thing, too. I mean, they had to do all the back and forth from venue to venue, and they'd cut to Susan St. James with McMahon, and then they'd cut to Elvira and Jesse Ventura, Lord Alfred Hayes, and Gene Okerlund interviewing people in Chicago. But, I mean, as many interviews as any WrestleMania has, this one had a ton and probably had my favorite Roddy Piper promo.
Yes!
Where he said that he grew his hair long so we wouldn't confuse him with Mr. T.
Yep.
He said that if he lost the fight, he would quit professional boxing, he'd quit professional wrestling, he'd quit Tiddlywinks, he'd quit dating girls, but he'd keep hanging out with Bob Orton.
That's right. I wouldn't quit you, though.
I wouldn't quit you, though. And then at the very end, he says, and by the way, I don't have to cut my hair like an Indian and dye myself black.
Yeah.
And it cracked up Bob Orton. Bob Orton starts laughing on camera.
Duva was doing everything he could not to laugh also.
Uh-huh,
And then Piper ended it with a toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Get WrestleMania 2 just for that promo.
Yes! It's worth it.
If you want to see someone antagonize the shit out of Mr. T or anybody else for that matter.
Who I believe he legitimately did not like. So there's real heat there.
Yep.
Going along with a hella promo. So.
Yeah, but yeah, it's funny to watch it manifest in that promo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about 3 then, because like you said, you know, you might... If you're telling somebody to start somewhere, you might tell them 3.
Just because, like, the crowd is just overwhelming to look at, and obviously it was the biggest thing at the time, so, you know.
Yep.
Besides 1, that would be the only place I would tell somebody to start.
Right.
Hogan versus Andre, man, you know, one of the most important matches in wrestling history.
It's part of the folklore of WWE. I mean, they can go back to 1 just because it was 1. They don't really talk about 2 very much, but, you know, WrestleMania 3 finds its way. It permeates everything about WWE.
Yes.
WWE would not be the same without WrestleMania 3.
And, I mean, Hogan has added to the folklore by exaggerating the size of Andre and the size of the crowd in various interview places, but...
Right.
To be expected with him.
The Pontiac Silverdome, which now holds 270,000 people.
Right.
Including one 600-pound giant.
A 10-foot-tall, 10,000-pound giant or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Right, yeah. He climbed the Pontiac Beanstalk to wrestle him.
That's right. Yeah.
No, everything about the show, let me hesitate to say everything. But, I mean, starting from the beginning, Aretha Franklin doing America the Beautiful was great.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
You know, and knowing, you got to, at the time I was a kid, I'm like, oh, I recognize her, you know, big lady, whatever, I recognize her as a singer. I mean, she was pretty fucking iconic. She Ray Charles doing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania 2 was, like, moving. And then...
Oh. Right.
And then Aretha's right on par with that one.
Yep, just a notch under, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I would argue, 12 pretty damn solid wrestling matches other than, you know, Billy Jerk Haynes for the record, that's Billy Jack Haynes.
Whatever.
Yeah, and, I mean, the midgets were out there just for show.
Yeah, that was nonsense, but it was supposed to be nonsense, so.
Right. Otherwise, I can't really pinpoint any match that stunk up the joint like a few other WrestleManias.
No, not really. Pretty solid.
Yep. And it's also got the Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage Intercontinental title match.
Yep. Everybody knows that match. That's worth seeking the tape out for alone, you know?
Yeah.
But, Yeah. No, That was the 6-man match with the Hart Foundation and Danny Davis, right?
Right, so, yeah, against the British Bulldogs and Tito Santana.
Danny Davis was fucking awesome as a character. So.
Hilarious.
Gets knocked into the middle of next week, and he gets the pinfall. I love it.
That's right. Absolutely.
And Bob Uecker on commentary having a heart attack about it.
That's right. That and the six-man with the midget. Oh, little beaver, just give Bundy a shot in the boiler.
Aunt Jemima spatula time or something.
Marinated mushrooms.
Euchre's awesome.
Bob Uecker, my God. I mean, three is pretty obvious. You know, it's the spectacle and the grandeur and the folklore, and it's WrestleMania three.
Yes.
Hell, WrestleMania four's got Bob Uecker though too.
Yeah. Well, that's one way to argue for it, you know?
Yep.
The Uecker commentary and the Uecker interviews on 4.
Yeah. Yeah, they were hilarious. Brutus the Barber, that's where I go to get my hair cut.
The man who takes care of me, baby.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, you want to talk about jokes, let's talk about somebody's lifetime batting average.
That's right. Hey, I'm not inviting you guys to my Outrigger dinner either. Oh, my God. And, of course, the Andre interview that, you know, shows up everywhere, too.
Yeah, the Andre interview where, if you don't know what we're talking about, Andre yells at him and then starts... And then Uecker says, get your foot off my shoulder or something.
It's his hand, yeah.
It's his hand, and then Andre starts choking him. And then at the end of the interview, you can see Andre laughing.
Yep.
Because why the fuck not? It was funny.
Yeah, how could you help yourself but to laugh?
Right, exactly.
That's so phenomenal.
That's one of the cases where it's okay to break kayfabe. I don't blame him.
Yep, exactly. And there are a few, you know, noteworthy matches sprinkled throughout the show. Demolition wins the tag belts from Strikeforce and gets a babyface pop from the crowd.
Oh, yeah. They had been getting a babyface pop pretty regularly. The crowd, you know, really took to them because they were so different. They were neat. It was a neat gimmick.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, the other matches that were throughout the show. But really, the thing that you and I both like about the show is that it was centered around a tournament for the vacated world title.
Yep, it made the title seem really important, and I always like tournaments anyway. It's fun to pick, you know, who's going to win and who's your favorite to win the tournament.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
You know that every little thing throughout the show builds to that big crescendo at the end.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't get old to hear Macho Man Randy Savage's Pomp and Circumstance theme music play throughout the show.
Yep.
The
ongoing changing matching outfits. With Savage and Elizabeth. That was a neat hook.
Yep.
Four times, had four different outfits.
Was it Jesse that said something like, are they color coordinated or are they color coordinated? And then Gorilla, or maybe Gorilla said that, and then Jesse was like, I think Jesse said it, and then Gorilla was like, they are.
Right.
Or maybe I got it backwards, but it's like,
I think
you know.
You do. I think Gorilla said, are they color coordinated or what, Jeff? You know?
And then Jeff literally had to, like, look and see, oh, yeah, they are.
Like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Jeff, just take his word for it.
Sure they are.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fun pay-per-view. You know, it gets a little tiny bit of flack, but it's a fun pay-per-view to watch.
Yeah, it's another one that people bring up for worst, but, I don't know. I like it.
Right.
I'd go to battle for it.
Oh, me too. I think part of the issue is, would they have a 14-man tournament?
14-man, yep.
You know, what does that amount to? 13 matches or something like that in the tournament alone?
Yeah.
So, you know,
they had a couple of buys.
Yeah, good point. So, yeah, between that and, you know, the multiple other matches, I can see where people be like, oh, this match is too short. But,
that's
just the nature of the beast.
Yeah. The worst thing was the crowd.
Yeah, they just got all these stinkers that were already at, you know, in Atlantic City getting free tickets from Donald Trump.
Right.
Like, not even really a wrestling crowd.
It was a better crowd than five, though, but
yeah.
Not exactly sure why. I'm not sure why five was worse than four. But
Yeah, they made the mistake of doing two shows in a row at the same place and the same
yeah.
stinker of an arena. And,
yep.
you know, when you do that, it's kind of hit or miss.
Agreed.
And in this case, it might have been miss and misser.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think, you know, honestly, WrestleMania 5, in my opinion, there are only two reasons to ever recommend somebody start there, and it's obvious. It's Hogan Savage and it's Warrior Rick Rude.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we've said before that no one got something out of Warrior quite like Rude did. He really
yep.
got the best out of him, you know?
Yeah.
Got some real good work rate out of him. And Hogan Savage, that might have been the best build to any WrestleMania ever.
Oh, yeah. The longest,
that holds.
Which
mm-hmm.
the longest, which I think translates to the best.
yeah.
You know, so many WrestleMania main events have started, the feud started, you know, 6 weeks before the show.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes that works, and a lot of times it would work better if there was a longer, slower build.
Right.
Exactly. Otherwise, I mean, those are two pretty epic feuds. You know, Jake the Snake and Andre was okay, but it was just kind of a, you know, few-month feud.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the match was just okay, you know, nothing special.
Right.
Now,
really?
This is the WrestleMania. That is the exception to your rule about the box set version being better.
Okay.
Because the Coliseum home video version with the clipped matches is actually the better version, I would argue.
Okay. Because of the matches being clipped?
Yeah, with the matches being clipped is better. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to sit through an entire King Haku versus Hercules match?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I see.
There are some undercard matches that kind of went on for about 3 days, and it makes
yeah.
for like 4+ hours if you're sitting through it, you know? And
yeah.
It's a long road to hoe.
Addition by subtraction.
Right, exactly. You know, that's not to knock it as an overall show. I mean, it did have Duggan with snot coming out of his nose.
yeah. Yeah,
so there's
my
something
God.
To be said about that.
Yep. That and, you know, a couple other good matches that really don't get that much credit. Heart Foundation versus Honky Tonk and Greg Valentine was okay.
Yep, that's real good. Mm-hmm.
Brainbusters versus Strikeforce was good and it told a story.
Yep.
But, you know, and Rockers Twin Towers was good. Wow, that's funny. Those are all three tag team matches.
Huh.
But again, it's, you know, it's known for two matches. It's loved for two matches.
Yep.
And in a way, it kind of stinks for the rest of the show. But
Ryan.
You know, if you're going to watch it, just keep in mind that this is like the slickly produced 1989 WWF, somewhat
yeah.
sterilized product that they were giving back then.
Right.
And just plan to be caught up in the drama of the mega powers exploding.
Right.
I think, didn't you mention on the message board WrestleMania 6 as one of your big ones?
Yeah, I've always loved, I guess I love 1990, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I like the Royal Rumble from that year, SummerSlam from that year is really good.
Yep.
I could give or take the Survivor Series, but overall,
yeah.
you know, hey, 1990, as far as the gimmicky steroid era, 1990 mm-hmm. is probably the best year.
Yeah,
and,
it could very well be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
and
well,
mm-hmm.
I think for exactly the reason you said, I mean, they'd just gotten rid of Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. So
yep.
there went two of their best workers. You know, I would dare to say the Rockers had fewer decent opponents to work with.
Right.
No offense to Akio Sato, but
full offense to Akio Sato.
Oh, right, yeah. Tito Santana's past his prime by this point. And then the whole point is to push people like Ultimate Warrior and Earthquake.
Right.
You know, Randy Savage took fucking vacation in 1990.
Yeah, he basically was out to lunch that year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he wasn't gone, he was feuding with Dusty Rhodes.
Right.
But yeah,
he was out to lunch that year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because he's fat. That's a fat joke, people.
Hey.
Can you handle that? A fat guy calling somebody fat means that you're fat, okay? FTW.
That's right. WrestleMania 6 was a fun one, though. It had a different look than the previous five WrestleManias. It was in Toronto, the Sky Dome. It kind of was, like, more dimly lit, I thought.
Sure.
Or at least, maybe not dimly lit, but the lighting seemed kind of darker, I guess.
It felt like a WCW show. Thank you.
Yeah, it did. It kind of did.
Thank you for mentioning that. That's a good observation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It also had a babyface main event.
Yep.
You know, the show was honestly, it was
which
a
was
real
unheard of.
Oh, yeah.
In the gimmicky steroid era, you never see that. You never
no.
see two. They should be friends, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yep. It was that was a cool moment, though. It was a really cool build and a cool moment to think that, you know. My
love
buddy's
that.
Favorite wrestler
match
is about.
Holds up too.
It does. It's a 22-minute match that's actually good out of two guys who made a living off of not being good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And ominous by his presence is the referee in that match.
Oh, Earl Hebner. Or Dave. Was it Dave then?
No, wasn't it Patterson?
No, Patterson wasn't the referee, but he was the architect.
Okay.
But
yeah, I thought Patterson actually was the ref, but that's right.
Yeah, no, Patterson will come in every once in a while. He was in there at WrestleMania 1 to make sure Ali didn't get out of control and Mr. T knew what to do. And then he'd show his face later at 11 in order to make sure that Lawrence Taylor didn't fuck everything up
on
a coke binge.
I was thinking of 11. Okay, I apologize. Yeah, but every now and then somebody in management would show up at ringside or in the ring for matches to make sure the angles go off right.
Yeah,
if
that happens once or twice.
Cooking.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, Bret Hart.
Yep, exactly.
So
a buddy of mine, for some reason, felt the need to email me today, a non-wrestling fan, to say, you'd be so proud, I Googled Montreal Screwjob.
Nice.
Okay, you must be bored at work.
Wants to find out all about how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
At his work.
That's right. There's a shoot joke in there. I don't know. I'm not even going to try to make it.
I don't know. Afterwards, he's going to go ski shooting. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. That's about it with six, though. I mean, it was a good show. It had, like, 14 matches on it. And, you know, as opposed to, what were we saying, three? You know, you can't really say any of them were stinkers.
Right.
Six was just kind of full of duds. I mean, there's a bunch of 3 and 4 minute matches that might have forwarded someone's career and stalled someone else's.
You know, if you think about it, it was a truckload of superstars main events.
It really was. Tito Santana versus the Barbarian.
Yep.
Dino Bravo
versus
Pat Martel.
Yeah.
Yep. So. I mean, like I said, it's a one-trick pony, but it's a fun show to watch. I can't.
Yeah,
I mean, a bunch of stinker matches being paraded out there. Maybe part of it is because the guys all came out on the cart, like the wrestling ring cart.
Oh, I love that cart.
Yep.
I want to get a cart like that for when I, like, go to the store or something. I want to have the cart drive me around.
There you go.
Oh, yes,
I'd like
I
to
do.
See I'd like to see Vince McMahon wheeled out on one of those at his funeral.
Oh, my God.
God.
Love it.
Let's see. 7. Let's see. 7. So we've had a couple of WrestleManias now in huge domes. 7 They attempted to have it at the Los Angeles Olympic Coliseum, whatever you call it, Sports Memorial Coliseum, whatever.
Sure.
In front of 100,000 fans.
But they couldn't because of terrorist threats.
Right. Those terrorists were so threatening that 85,000 people didn't buy tickets to that show.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, and wrestling was in a serious downturn at the time, too. Yet, you know what? The thing about Seven is so many people remember Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter so fondly.
Yeah, it's not very good.
It wasn't a terrible match. Like, Slaughter was having much better matches 7 or 8 years before that.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really think that people remember the Iraqi thing through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
Especially when they were 10 and, you know, some people's parents might have gone overseas, but for the most part, you know, I think everyone might have been like 2 or 3 degrees of separation away from the Iraq war back then.
Yep.
And so all they really remember is this really, really evil guy being really, really evil and being on the side of a really, really evil country.
Right.
And then he burned a Hulk Hogan t-shirt, which was unheard of at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
It was almost a relief of after having a year of Ultimate Warrior as the champion.
That's true. I mean, I'm watching the build for it right now, and it's like, it doesn't do anything for me. It's not that interesting.
I mean,
almost kind of a letdown to hear the main event, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Hogan Slaughter? Really?
It's like they had to force it because they figured that Hogan Warrior wasn't going to draw again.
I don't know how they could make that argument. Why would that have been worse than Hogan Slaughter? Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I don't get it.
Unless they thought they could space out the Hogan Warrior thing, which didn't end up happening.
Right, because Warrior is a space cadet. So.
Yeah.
You know, relying on him is, yeah.
Yeah, like using a rubber crutch.
Right.
I don't know, man. Unless they really thought that they had hit on something with the Iraq war.
I think they did. I think they really had something with the war thing.
Yeah. They lucked out with the AWA folding the previous year, so Sergeant Slaughter was free to come over.
Right.
It's like that. It all just kind of fell in their laps, but, you know, sometimes the dog takes a piss in your lap, too.
Yes. That's good advice, kids.
You know what, though? The show had Ultimate Warrior Randy Savage also, and everyone seems to love
incredible.
That match. It was a great match.
Fantastic match, and the Nasty Boys beating Heart Foundation in an almost ECW-style match. That's really enjoyable.
Yep.
There's a lot of stinkers, too.
Well, the blind leading the blind.
Even a fool knows a man only has...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, but a snake.
Six,
yep. The match really was not very good, but it was fun to watch at the time. It was memorable. Otherwise, I mean, what else were we treated to? Greg Valentine versus Earthquake.
Gary Von Erich against Dino.
Dino Bravo, goddamn, at like his bloated worst.
Yeah, that was, and that was just a few months away from him leaving the company and then getting killed in that mob thing. So
yeah, seriously. Oh, my God. This is another, it was seriously another series of Superstars main events.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Legion of Doom getting retribution for being thrown out of the Battle Royal by Power and Glory.
I haven't seen it yet.
Sorry, spoiler. I don't know, though. It's they actually did kind of a good job of making it seem more epic than it was.
Sure. I overall would give it a thumbs up, but it'd be a lukewarm thumbs up, you know?
Yep.
For the reasons we outlined.
Yeah, it's another one of those, the feelings that arise from watching it are greater than the actual product that was put forth.
That's right.
WrestleMania 8 was one where they decided to show some restraint and cut about 5 or 6 matches out of the undercard.
Sure.
As opposed to previous years where they'd load it up and have 14 matches. Now I think they have 9 at this one.
Right. Like every other WrestleMania up to that point almost, it had like either a billion matches or else and or a battle royal, you know, to get everybody on there.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. This one, and you know what's sad? I can't actually think of too many wrestlers they left off.
This was really the start of the roster thinning out.
Yep.
But they still had some strong main event guys to make up for it.
Oh, yeah, the double main event.
Flair came in at the right time.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to thin out a roster but, you know, still need that number one heel, you know, because they were – let's see, who were – the two top heels the year before were Sergeant Slaughter and Randy Savage, and both had turned babyface by this time.
Mm-hmm.
Flair, perfect timing. He and Savage for the world title, still my favorite. I'm pretty sure – well, no. Now it's my second favorite match, now that Shawn Michaels and Undertaker wrestled at WrestleMania 25.
Yeah.
But Randy Savage, Ric Flair, you know, that whole – from ring introductions till the post-match promo probably took about 30 to 35 minutes out of the show, if not more.
Right. And it was well-deserved. It was every second was entertaining.
It was. Literally, that's the best part about that. If you get the DVD and you get a chance to watch from the beginning of whoever cuts the first promo, it might have been Flair, talking to him about, you know, Liz being all the way live.
and believe me! These are the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah, all the way through even the ring introductions to the match to the post-match shenanigans.
Yep.
Elizabeth beating up Ric Flair through the post-match
promo. Chaos at the end. Mm-hmm.
Yep. To Ric Flair saying that every time he sees Liz, I'm going to kiss her on those moist, wet lips.
Woo! Woo!
And then Savage just going fucking ballistic backstage.
Yeah.
that's fucking great TV right there.
Incredible.
Hogan, Sid, you know, they took up their time. It was Hogan's threatened final match.
Yep.
Unfortunately,
it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Hulk Hogan. Is this your final match?
We know Vince McMahon. Yeah. I got to go film my new movie, Rough Stuff, which I'm pretty sure never came out.
I got to film my new movie that 3 people will see in the theater, dude.
Yeah, and those 3 people are each of the ninjas, the 3 ninjas that
have
been
going to the Mega Mountain Theater.
No, oh my God. That's awesome. Quality-wise, that match was shit, but, you know.
Well, of course it was. Hulk Hogan was in it.
That's right. What did you think of that, though, as a main event? I mean, we all went into the show thinking it was going to be Hogan Flair, and then they turned the corner on us and switched everything up. So now it's like Hogan Sid. For you, was that anticlimactic, or was that awesome, or what did you think?
I thought I had it in my head, you know. It was going to be Hogan Flair. It was going to be Savage, Jake the Snake, and then it was going to be Sid against The Undertaker. I would have put my house on it if I had had a house at 10 years old.
Right.
So it was kind of just weird and sort of a letdown, you know.
Yep.
When that wasn't the case. And obviously I was ecstatic that Sid was in the main event and everything, but I knew he wasn't going to win. I knew he wasn't going to pin Hogan, you know?
Right, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So it just kind of left a bitter taste.
Yeah. Something, I don't know. There are a few awkward things about the show, like...
It felt a little empty. I don't know, you know?
It did. You know... I don't know. There were some things about it, like Undertaker versus Jake Roberts. Undertaker just coming off a babyface turn.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good, and the match was okay, too, and it kind of put the nail in the coffin of Jake Roberts' WWF career.
Sure.
I think in hindsight, that kind of leaves it a little bit bittersweet, but, you know, it was still pretty good. The Shawn Michaels getting his first singles WrestleMania win.
Yep.
But it wasn't against Tito Santana. It was against El Matador.
Right. Well, still a pretty special win, you know, for your first win, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But
we also got and another, you know, Tatanka versus Rick Martel. I guess Tatanka's got to start somewhere, but.
Holy shit! Was that a long feud?
Yeah, it went on until Survivor Series when they feuded over the feather of the diseased pigeon.
Yep.
God. But I still highly recommend this. We didn't even talk about Bret Hart, Roddy Piper.
Which was amazing. Mm-hmm.
It was a great 20-minute match or however long it was.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then...
Great finish, really exciting.
Yeah, the finish was amazing. That's one of my favorite finishes because of, A, the novelty of it, but, B,
sure.
I love it that the crowd gets it. Like, slowly they figure out, as the referee's counting the three, they start to come to their feet, like, oh, my God, now I see what they're doing.
Right, right.
You know, there's a lot to like about this show, and I would highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
9. Here's another one that gets a lot of flack.
Yeah, it gets shit on a whole lot. And my main criticism is that it's outdoors.
Yeah.
I don't like outdoor shows.
I think my criticism of it now, I think my perspective of it now as far as it being outdoors is we've seen them do outdoors again with WrestleMania 24.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 75,000 people, and here were about 7,500.
I thought you were going to say 75, which would have been pretty accurate.
That was what felt the weirdest to me. I mean, you know what? Jim Ross in a toga is like, that's the five words that really is everybody's bumper sticker for this show.
Right.
But you know what?
Who cares?
Jim Ross didn't want to, if they asked Jim Ross to put his hair in a mohawk and paint it red, he would have fucking done it.
That's right.
So, too bad. Team player
don't
Jim Ross.
Don't fucking
put on a
feel
toga.
Bad for Jim Ross's ass, okay?
Yeah.
He got paid mighty handsomely to wear that fucking toga. So
yep, that's right.
Keep your tears, keep your tears in your pants, dude.
My soft spot for this show for me is No, it actually wasn't the first pay-per-view I ever bought, but it was the first one that I remember borrowing from somebody and taping off of somebody else's tape, but it was the first one that I remember watching on Scramble Vision of any decent quality. Like, I watched other ones, and they're really terrible quality, and I could hear the audio.
Sure.
But I could actually see this one pretty well, and my dad and I watched it over supper and then just whatever else we did over the course of the night. Like, I remember biting into my pan-fried hamburger and hearing Gorilla Monsoon say, latest addition to the WWF announced team, Jim Ross. And the burger literally fell out of my mouth.
Wow.
Yep.
That is a very graphic and disgusting visual, my friend.
I was wearing a toga when it happened, too.
I'm sure you were.
But let's talk about some of the other criticisms of this show. What else do you read and see and hear about WrestleMania 9?
Hogan bigfooting.
Yeah.
sticking his big, fat, yellow and red ass into Bret Hart's business.
Yep.
And Bret very, very half-heartedly saying, go on, man.
Right,
take care
yeah.
of things, you know, because he clearly was not into it.
Yeah, so later on he could tell everybody that he was shooing a fly away from his face.
Yeah, basically, yeah, that's about what it looked like.
Yep.
And that thus became Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan's love relationship, which would
yeah.
Manifest itself further in the late 90s in WCW.
Yeah, after that shoot, brother, when Bret Hart got screwed out of the title and had to go to WCW and then got bigfooted by Hogan again.
Yeah, he sure did.
Because Hogan could see through that shit, and he knew that Bret Hart was being sent there to make some money for a while and lay low.
Only WCW could fuck up having the biggest star in the opposing company come to their company, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. Well,
that was a
back
gift horse that they looked that gift horse in the mouth and they took a dump in it, you know? But, yeah, that's a big criticism because it was supposed to be the first Mania main event sans Hogan. So,
right. Yep.
And then
it ended
up being not the case. So I can see there's a definite letdown there.
Yep.
You know, real disappointment.
Yep. You know, and this is another, I don't know, it was a weird transition time. Some new guys were coming in. Some people were what am I trying to say? Switching
Hogan's
affiliations, swip swap. The Lexorcist Lark.
The
Lexorcist Lark. The Narcissist Lex Luger. you know, it's Luger's first WrestleMania. He's a heel. He's wrestling a baby face perfect. That's strange to see. There's a clown wrestling. And
oh my God, the bright colors in that match.
No shit.
I think I'm still blind from watching that match.
Yeah, he's just poor Matt Bourne's in there stuck wrestling that quad crush.
Yeah.
you know, we basically got another Superstars main event of Bob Backlund versus Razor Ramon.
Yep. The only thing I remember about that match is that Razor literally said, me, when he was pointing at himself.
That's right. When he won the match, he rolled out of the ring happy as a pig and shit, just going, me.
That was pretty spectacular.
Yep. Funny, too, remind me of that, too. Razor Ramon was really, really amped up for that show. Maybe. And the head shrinker Steiners was a good match, but it was so inconsequential, especially when your tag title match. That's the other thing, too. It's like your tag team championships. Hulk Hogan, after 8 years of running wild,
yeah,
is wrestling for the tag team belts with his jobber friend, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Right.
You know, so you gotta, you know, something's in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can smell it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's a weird show, but like it's a weird show in weird ways.
Yep.
It's outdoors, but they presented it shittily, kind of.
Exactly.
They had Hulk Hogan there, and they relegated him to a tag match, and then still made him the main eventer.
Right.
You had baby faces that had been heels for years. You had heels that were fucking clowns.
Right.
And you had the murdering of the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by the resurrection of the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lest we not forget Giant Gonzalez being on this show.
Oh boy.
With his airbrushed pubic hair.
Is that the most bizarre outfit ever?
I would say it's even more bizarre than the Ultimate Warrior's airbrushed muscles.
Right.
Because at least
it has hair on it.
Yeah, Warrior at least had strategically placed Ultimate Warrior symbols.
Right.
Yeah, we had to go through the graphic Fuzzy Bunny middle school health class video version of the slim good body outfit with pubic hair all over it.
Good body, yes.
Who the fuck green-lighted that one?
Look, I'm stepping into Jeremy territory here, but Slim Goodbody had to be a pedophile, right?
I think so.
I mean, he was fucking little boys on the reg, right?
Yeah.
Had to be.
IRL, yep, you bet.
Yeah.
Somewhere Mr. Wizard was doing somersault in his grave in the pike position.
In the pike position.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I would recommend 9 for a good laugh. And actually, speaking of good laughs, I think you mentioned a couple of threads ago something about the commentary of Bobby Heenan at WrestleMania's 8 and 9.
Yeah. Yep.
If you're going to...
He's really enthused. He's into the product, and it's very obvious if you're listening for it. He loves it.
Yeah.
He is a pig in proverbial shit.
Yes.
For those
if you're gonna if you're gonna suffer through WrestleMania 9 for anything, do it for the commentary because it strings a decent thread throughout the whole show.
Yep.
You can watch Jim Ross, Randy Savage, and Bobby Heenan, and they somehow manage to make 3 hours fly by.
Yeah. That would be mediocre otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If there was a lesser commentary team and you had to think about it more, it'd be much worse.
Yep. Definitely. So. Let's see. WrestleMania 10. This is another one of those that's heralded for multiple reasons. A lot of good work rate. It's back at MSG.
It.
Yeah. This is the other one that you said in the thread that you would recommend.
Yep. Yep, this is one, I wanted to list the older ones because the guy is, he's a baby on, being a wrestling fan. So he should definitely check out some of the older shit, in my opinion.
Yep.
And 10 is right up there, man.
Yep. Yeah, what puts 10 up there for you?
Show. We finally got rid of Hogan,
Yes.
And while Bret Hart might be a horrible human being also, probably maybe worse than Hogan as far as being a human being, great wrestler, and he's finally being given a chance to shine, and the Owen match is just excellent, and
mm-hmm.
the Yoko match is okay for a Yoko match, probably the second best opponent Yoko's ever had besides Undertaker, and got a good match out of him, and... So those are good things. The ladder match, obviously.
Yeah, Razor Ramon versus was it Jim Cornette that made the crack? God, every time this match comes up, I wish I could remember the quote exactly. Something about, somebody said the best match Razor Ramon had was being in the ring when Shawn Michaels wrestled the ladder.
Yep, that's what Cornette said. Mm-hmm.
That's a corny quote. You know what, though? I give Ramon a little more credit than that, but, yeah, that match is, there have been a couple of ladder matches in wrestling history before, but not to the huge audience that this was, and this was, like, WrestleMania 10 worthy, This is the 10th one of this huge show that we put on every year. We're going to give you something special between two of our top wrestlers, and I mean, like, working wrestlers. Fantastic, and... You felt like you were watching something really special.
And this is when Sean was pretty flaky. I think he took time off right after the show.
Yeah.
And so this is the start of him getting really bad into drugs, but you're not supposed to know that. Nobody ever talks about that. But anyway.
Right.
Especially considering those circumstances, just excellent,
Yeah. Yep.
He could be pilled up and drugged up and drunk and whatever the hell else, and he can still have a great match against the couch. So.
Yep. That's right. I would dare say, just trying to think of the rest of the lineup, Bam Bam Bigelow and Luna versus Doink and Dink, Randy Savage versus Crush in not the worst thing I've ever seen, but really Savage's swan song.
Pretty okay.
Pretty okay. Men on a Mission versus the Mounties, the Quebecers.
Right. Which is undercover awesome. Because
yeah,
of the
I might
Quebecers.
Have. Yeah, those guys were awesome. They did a lot of cool shit. There wasn't a lot to write home about when it came to this show. You know, this show, honestly, it rests on the laurels of two great matches and one culmination of one man's, you know, 10-year at the time career in the WWF.
Yeah. Getting
his time to shine.
Dream came true. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's an absolute recommendation, total thumbs up. They try to do the thread through the whole thing with the WrestleMania recalls, and here's some that happened at 1 and 2. And I love watching them bury Hogan throughout.
Yep. Excellent.
The beginning of the show, they show Hogan getting his hand raised at WrestleMania 1, and then it fades to black and dissolves, like, you know, fuck this. Let's start over again.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, if you really, really get into it for the two awesome matches, that makes it a lot easier to sift through some of the other shit, like Earthquake versus Atom Bomb.
Right, right.
Where the best part was Harvey Whippleman's promo on Howard Finkel.
I would argue that the shit on this show is better shit than on previous shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like I prefer 10 shit to 7s, you know?
Yep.
For example.
Definitely.
And that Earthquake match is over in a second, so.
Yeah.
Get it the hell out of the way, you know?
Yep. And then Trigger counting to 3.
Yeah, yeah.
You go back and watch the show, folks, and you'll know what we're talking about.
You should watch
okay.
the show anyway.
You should.
Do it now.
10. Yep. Man. So here we go. Second decade of WrestleMania begins with WrestleMania 11.
Oh, boy.
And let me go ahead and start this conversation off by saying WWF was in the middle of a downturn in business at this point, and in an effort to regain some interest in the product, they brought in famed New York Giants linebacker and Cokehead Lawrence Taylor.
Coke
the main event, Coke T, to main event the show against relatively unknown to the vast majority of the people, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
Who was good at holding up his own and could cut a promo that was about a 5 or a 6 out of 10 on a good day. This was WWF's and Vince McMahon's chance to put their absolute best foot forward in front of one of the bigger crowds they probably had in a while worldwide on pay-per-view, and the press that they got was incredible. They're on ESPN about every other hour because of this.
Right.
And the first two things...
But he's facing Bam Bam, so how good could it be? You know?
Right. Right. Well, the first two things that happen when the red light comes on are Vince McMahon trying to introduce the person singing the national anthem and his microphone doesn't work.
Right.
And then the person singing the national anthem is, as Vince McMahon calls her, a Special Olympian.
Right.
Because in his mind, everyone with some version of mental retardation is a Special Olympian.
Sure.
And I watched her tonight, just about 3.5 hours ago, sing the national anthem for the first time.
I know.
Since like 96. I'm not going to get into detail. I'm just going to say it's really hard to watch.
Yeah. It's a shame. She shouldn't have been put in that position, you know?
No. It's exploitative at...
It's just mean. It really is.
The crowd gave her a good applause. I mean, I credit the crowd. Sure. It was a small crowd. It was Hartford, Connecticut. That's another thing. It's pathetic.
Right.
They had to go to Hartford, Connecticut in front of about 12,000 people to do this WrestleMania.
That's in my notes. That made WrestleMania look really low rent to go to a place like that.
Yeah, okay. So let's keep counting the ways. So they've got this massive worldwide audience paying attention to WrestleMania 11. Audio problems throughout the entire show.
Yep.
Mentally handicapped girl singing the national anthem. After
Which
running
is rude
through
and exploitative and shouldn't have happened.
It is. And
not
this
her
is after,
fault, it was bad.
Yeah, and this was after running through a laundry list of super. I mean, Pamela Anderson was probably the best-known woman in the world at the time, you know, cough up a little bit of money and get an actual singer that everybody knows.
Yeah.
You're holding your show in something that looks no bigger than a high school gym.
Yep.
What else do we got here? Bunch of shit matches.
No, this is another show, like 8, where I have it dead set in my mind. My fantasy booking would have been better than what they did.
Yeah.
Now, LT at Royal Rumble was a guest of Diesel.
Right.
The best way to use him is in a tag team match with Diesel.
Right.
So LT and Diesel against Shawn Michaels and Sid or something.
Yep.
Would have been great.
Yep. And no offense to Bam Bam, but
exactly what they should have done.
How much better would the promos have been on LT coming from Shawn Michaels and Sid?
Yeah. Right?
Yep. And then Bam Bam could have focused on stealing the urn along with Kama.
Exactly.
And they both could have had a necklace. Real quick. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you don't want the title tied up in a tag team match, the other thing they could have done, and this I'm not swearing by this part. This is my iffy part. They could have switched the belt to Bret Hart at the Rumble,
yeah,
and had the British Bulldog win the Rumble, so you could have had Hart versus Bulldog part 2.
Knowing how excellent the match would have been.
Knowing how excellent that match would have been because the last match was excellent. So now all of a sudden you got a tag team match that's really important because LT's in it and the promos are awesome and everything, and Diesel was a big star at the time.
Right.
And then a world title match that you know is going to be awesome.
Yep. Yep.
So there's a better WrestleMania.
There you go. Now, because this show only had 7 matches, which blows my fucking mind, and they're all awful.
They're all just horrible matches, yes.
This means that we can run through them, and I'll try to do it in short order because we're up about an hour on this show right now. We've got 2 more to go before we reach the halfway point. Again, best foot forward, the British Bulldog, who people might know, and Lex Luger, who's got a phenomenal physique, fucking fumbling and clotting their way around the ring against 2 guys who were jobbers at best in ECW a year before this.
Yeah, nothing happening, guys, man.
No, terrible, fucking terrible. In between first and second match, audio problems with Nicholas Totoro from NYPD Blue. And then, what the hell was the second match? Was that Razor Ramon?
Yeah, Ramon against Jarrett. Fucking Jarrett.
And here's where
God
I wanted to...
Godforsaken Jeff Jarrett.
Fuck that guy. Here's where I was going to bring up. At WrestleMania 9, Razor Ramon was pumped. He was ready to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 11, it looked like he took about a half a bottle of Valium before he came down to the ring.
Yeah.
He's backstage. He lets 1-2-3 Kid cut the promo for him. And then just says, let's go. And
right.
I watched his match very carefully. In the first 5 minutes of their 10-minute match, he didn't take one single solitary bump. And literally, I give him credit, too. His only offensive move was a punch.
Right.
But you know what? He worked that fucking punch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He got a good crowd reaction out of the punch.
Yes, he did.
The match sucked. It was embarrassing.
But he hit that punch from the pay window, you know?
That's right, yeah.
So let's guard our place here a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty sure the security camera at the bank shows Scott Hall laughing.
That's right.
The third match on the card is Undertaker versus King Kong Bundy, who just won't go away.
Jesus Christ. Now, once again, Undertaker versus Bam Bam would have been interesting, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
A much better match. With referee Larry Young, which is funny, too, because going back and watching this, all I remember was from baseball, he was actually a good pro wrestling referee. Like, he knew the cadence to count, and he knew to stay out of the way. And
yes.
It's almost
but
like
I couldn't
he was,
help but think, where the hell did that come from, you know?
Right. He probably trained and learned how to do it and then did it during the off season.
Sure.
So that was cool. Owen Hart versus Smoke and Yokozuna versus the Smoking Gun. Yep, exactly. No further than that.
I'm obligated to point out that it could have been Chris Benoit in that spot.
That's right.
That's who it was supposed to be.
But of course, he's not as big of a star as Yokozuna was.
No.
So Yoko had to come out there and do his obligatory three spots. He actually took a bump for Bart Gunn, which I was kind of impressed about. But you know,
that was kind of a hell freezing over sort of situation, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, the shine had already come off of Yokozuna. He'd already bumped for everybody else by this point. So
fair enough. That's true. And he's being transitioned downwards anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Bob Backlund versus Bret Hart. Not good, but you know, and it was a submission match, so the entire spectacle of the match was surrounded around Roddy Piper, the special guest referee, holding the microphone to hear who would say "I quit."
Holy crap!
Yep.
Bad.
Yep. Todd Pettengill trying to interview Diesel backstage, and the microphone doesn't work. So then everybody gets pissed off at that, and Diesel has to fumble his way through his promo.
Now, can I corner you right here? Are you on record as liking Todd Pettengill?
Yes,
I am. Can
I
corner you on this? Okay.
I like Todd Pettengill as much as you like Sean Mooney.
Okay.
And that's definitely one spot where you and I differ.
Yeah, and you're not going to convince me.
Yeah, I don't
Todd
think.
Todd Pettengill.
No, I'm not even going to try anymore at this point. But, you know.
That guy was a grade-A Dweeble dork, man.
Oh, my God. I don't even have anything for Sean Mooney. So I was going to try to come up with one of his witty puns like somebody used to write for him all the time.
You should, because he was the corniest guy ever, but I liked it, you know?
Yeah.
My favorite one, which I might have said already on an audio, but fuck it.
Yeah?
The fabulous Russo brothers are not always known for fighting Savoy fairly, but the Rockers are ready to go at it with them.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Woo!
Well, I guess that is technically better than Todd Pettengill at WrestleMania 9 up in the crowd. Like, I mean, the Bob Uecker sees, which was good that he dropped Bob Uecker's name.
Yeah.
But then the whole, Yokozuna, number one!
Yeah.
So, all right. Diesel versus Shawn Michaels, good match, but...
Good. Michaels,
you know,
guzzled him, though.
Yeah.
For being a heel, you know?
Yep. The match ultimately led to nothing of consequence. You know, Shawn Michaels would turn babyface the next night, but whatever.
Yeah.
No one really goes back and looks at that match and says this was a turning point in wrestling history.
Nope.
and then your main event is another one where Pat Patterson has to come out there and, you know, corral the retards, make sure they have a decent match.
Right.
I can't.
Very good for what it was, but for God's sake, that's the main event. Bam Bam Bigelow was in the main event, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Forever and a day, history will go down. The wrestling, the PWI Almanac will show that Bam Bam Bigelow is the main event of WrestleMania 11.
I'd be embarrassed by that. And that's nothing against Bam Bam. It's just like, huh?
Yeah. So... there you go. I would not, in good conscience, recommend WrestleMania 11. That would be the 25th WrestleMania.
Not. If you're listening, new dude, don't.
Yeah, Ryan Stevens, Mam Spam. Yeah, don't do it. WrestleMania 12, I think, would it have 6 matches on the show proper?
Yes.
All because the one big match was a 60-minute Iron Man match.
I'm about to be negative again.
Oh, by all means.
That match is so overrated it makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's what, probably about 45 minutes of shit.
Well, let's examine for a second here. Every other match has a pinfall in what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes?
Right.
So they go 60 minutes with no pinfalls whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Right away, it's like, huh?
Yeah.
Wait, what? You know?
Completely not believable. The era of the 60-minute draw had long since passed by this point.
Yeah, right, right. Now, I would have preferred something like what Bill Watt, who, by the way, is awesome, and it's
yep.
And if any too cool, too smart for their own good columnist wrote a negative column about him, it was probably none.
When
he booked Rick Steamboat against Rick Rude in a 30-minute Iron Man match that had about 5 falls to it, that's
yep.
how it should have been done.
I think it was even 7, actually. I think it was 4
sure.
to 3 in favor of Steamboat.
That
also was
a
draw.
Whole lot more
no.
sense. Makes a whole lot more sense than going 61 minutes with one fall.
Right, definitely.
Fuck that.
Yeah, especially when the first, you know, and the first 45 minutes never shifted out of first gear.
Nope.
I mean, it was just bad. And the rest of the undercard was bad, too. And the only thing even worth talking about is Roddy Piper versus Goldust.
Right, which is at least interesting. A
right.
very interesting train wreck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's another one of those, though. It's the thread throughout the show.
Yep.
You get the Hollywood backlot bra.
Wait a minute, this footage looks really familiar.
Yeah, yeah, to a phone call to Roddy Piper calling in to WrestleMania, and right before he says a swear word, they cut him off.
Right.
To showing footage of OJ's chase down the Pacific Coast Highway or whatever it was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
To them finally settling their match in the wrestling ring.
Right.
That is, like, the highlight of the show, and that's not saying much.
No. But it was.
But it was.
That was the highlight.
Ultimate Warrior squashes Triple H is really only funny for irony's sake in hindsight.
Oh, sure. On an irony basis, sure.
Yep.
Yep.
Otherwise,
terrible, though,
you know,
that they felt the need to bring back Warrior. This is really when McMahon was hitting the panic button big time because they,
yep.
you know, Nitro had just debuted a few months before and all that good stuff.
Right. So they thought they needed some star power. They
yeah,
did,
you know,
but
they,
obviously he wasn't the right star. Yeah, they were
desperate. Right.
You know, this is really low on my ranking, on my recommendation scale, too.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't in good conscience tell somebody, hey, why don't you pick up WrestleMania 12 if you want a really good flavor of what WrestleMania is all about. Oh,
right.
It's all about me sitting here for 45 minutes wishing I fucking had a knife within arm's reach.
Right.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, it really felt like the whole 60-minute schmoz was controlled by Bret Hart, and that's a terrible decision.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels didn't really get any chance to shine whatsoever until the final minute or two.
Yeah.
It was just a drag, man, watching that
yes.
match.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
The tide would turn, though, at WrestleMania 13. This one's, it comes highly recommended, but which is strange for a show that's, again, main evented by Sid. It features a tag team title match between one fairly established team and one team that got thrown together about 3 weeks earlier.
Yep.
An intercontinental title match featuring the Sultan.
And this is when... I have to point this out because it's very bizarre to me, and
mm-hmm.
it's so strange that even Becky pointed it out when I was watching this show the last time, like what's up with this? Jerry Lawler burying the Rocky on commentary? Way beyond the point of him favoring the heel over the baby face?
Yeah.
To the point where you're like, what's your problem, Lawler, you know?
Right.
The fuck?
Yeah.
He's not Rocky. He's the rookie. because he doesn't know anything about wrestling, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Relax. You know, what are you doing?
I know. I mean, they were going so far over the top with the cheesy, smiling, hand shaking, baby kissing good guy.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing was terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just poorly thought out, and I'm glad that, you know, the fans basically made them derail their plans.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so many other weird things about this show, like Bret Hart trying to interfere in the main event,
right.
Shawn Michaels doing commentary. You know, it's so many strange things about this show. Yet, honestly, Bret Hart versus Steve Austin is so good that you almost can't help but recommend this show.
Sure. This is the first traces of you-know-who's fingerprints on this show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can see it in little tidbits, Shawn Michaels breaking kayfabe, talking about carrying Sid and all that stuff, you know?
Yep.
Which, by the way, Sid carried you at Survivor Series, motherfucker, so.
No kidding.
At Royal Rumble, I mean. Royal Rumble,
you were, fucking filled up.
When you were
yeah.
sick.
Yeah, with
you
the
were
flu,
sick.
Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You were so fucked up in your hometown the night before.
Seriously.
God.
Go fuck yourself, 1990 Shawn Michaels. You suck.
Yeah. That's right. No, I think that's actually a good point that you make, though, is that this is really the first WrestleMania of the burgeoning Attitude Era.
Yep.
And
yep.
even though, like, there were some things that were a big mishmash and some things that just didn't seem to fit, like Honky Tonk Man coming back out for commentary.
Right, yeah.
You know, it...
That was also very Russo-esque. He has a hard-on for some of those old characters.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
he kept bringing back Snuka all the
yes.
time, too.
Oh, my mm-hmm. God. Now, he loves his 1980s WWF, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, the Austin Hart match had a very Attitude Era feel to it. The six-man tag certainly did.
Yep. Yeah, with the Road Warriors, yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I would say this, if anybody were recommending this show, it would be for Bret Hart, Steve Austin first. And
yep.
it would be for the burgeoning Attitude atmosphere surrounding the show second.
Yep.
And anything
you can feel
else
the tide shifting.
Yep.
What a difference the year makes, because 96 was still very gimmicky, still very glitz and glamour, and all of a sudden now 97 has a darker, harder edge to it.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of things shifting, how about we shift out of this first half of the show and worry about doing a second half, I don't know, before the weekend's over?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Sometime
cool.
in the future, that sounds good, yes.
About the same time we talk about the old school Nitro? Nah, I will.
And we'll update you on Samoa Joe's contract status. Stay tuned.
Right. No. We will actually do the other half of WrestleManias again. This is a fun topic, you know. But it's something that the message board kind of rallied around, you know. Oh, I have my favorite, and I have my handful of favorites, and here's why. So it's
sure.
kind of fun to talk about why people might consider these WrestleManias their favorites.
Right. Or why they might be idiots.
That's right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, I'm going to call it a night, and I don't know, maybe I'll pop in. Let's see. Which one of these WrestleManias have we talked about that I might pop in? You pick, Dusty.
Oh, okay.
1 through 13. Maybe I should put in, I just told you to pick. Maybe I should put in 13. He was worth a shit.
Yeah, I was going to say 13. Either
there
13 or 7. Either 13
cool.
or 7.
Good deal. Well, I think I'm going to put in 13 and maybe fall asleep on my couch, so I'm going to call it a night. So thanks
all
for
right.
listening. Stick around, and we'll see if we do the second half sometime this weekend.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, I am Dusty Ebink, and here we go around the lemon tree. Mister, can't you hear me? We'll try to do better next time.